эфире «Арсенал подкаст» Ивана Меркурьева.
Hello, today we have a special guest in our podcast. It's an English writer and Arsenal supporter, Kevin Witcher. Kevin, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Let's start with the general story, which we were talking about last, 5-6 years, about this youth project or incubator project. Can we say now that incubator project is finished? And let me explain, please, what I mean. It is finished, of course, given the age of both players for the last 12 months. But do you think that Arsene Wenger will be trying to restore it? Or this project is dead forever in Arsenal Football Club?
I think he's going to try and change it. I think he's acknowledged that he cannot rely on the loyalty of the young players that he brings in. So, having lost players that he protected and nurtured, he now thinks, okay, how am I going to retain these younger players? So, I now believe there is a bit more of a move towards promoting native players, English players, or Aaron Ramsey is Welsh, but British players, that are going to have less of a reason to want to move abroad and are only likely then to look at other English clubs to move, which kind of lessens the options a little bit. So I think he's compromised it and he's changed it. So the change is that there's more English now, and the compromise is that the average age of the team is going to be older as we go forward. He now accepts that when he brings players in from the continent, the chances are they will leave. So he's now thinking, okay, if I'm going to get 3 years out of a player, I might as well buy an experienced one who I don't have to nurture and develop, because all that happens is they end up leaving. So the ideal situation would be as it was when he first took over the club. He bought players like Marc Overmars and Emmanuel Petit, who gave the club 3 seasons, and then they went, and he made a profit on them. But the difference was he didn't have to wait very long for these players to perform at the level needed to win trophies. So he's had to wait for Alex Song to become good enough. He's had to wait for Sami Nasri to become good enough. And when they finally looked like maybe they could have learnt enough to actually do the right thing, they just piss off, you know. So he might as well get a player who's going to actually win him something rather than make him wait. So on that level, he's buying more experienced foreign players, but he still wants to develop young players. He still wants them in his team. So he's now concentrating, I believe, on native players. There are going to be less teenage foreign kids coming in, which he's really going to rely on. He might still experiment a little, but I don't think big sums in future are going to be spent on young talent from abroad. So I believe there's been a change, but he's not given up completely on developing young talent.
But in this case, if you have a look at English squad, I don't think there are a lot of talented British players in United Kingdom.
Yes, but he has been very quick in the past to not really give English players a chance. So, you know, there's a change of tack, for example, in him buying a player like Oxlade-Chamberlain. There's a change of tack in him giving the chance to a player like Kieran Gibbs or Carl Jenkinson. Now, the reason perhaps before that he didn't really give youngsters a chance, especially in defence, was because they weren't getting the right coaching, so they just weren't up to the grade. Now I believe that he's changed his approach. He's allowing Steve Bould to coach the defence exclusively. And it's easiest to do this when you've got players that speak the same language. So, you know, if you look along the back four now, apart from Koscielny and Sanya, they're mostly English or Northern European players.
And Mertesacker.
Yeah, but he's got a different mentality to a continental, a southern Mediterranean player. You know, he's gonna suit the English game more than some Spanish kid or something. You know, it's I just sense a gradual change, and I mean, okay, the pool of talent is not great, but there's certainly enough there to build half a team if you get the right players or you develop the right players. And I don't think, for example, that Kieran Gibbs is naturally talented as a defender. However, what I believe is happening now is that he's getting proper instruction and that he could develop into someone that is good enough. And it's interesting that he's keeping Santos out of the team. Now, I think that's probably because he is responding better to Steve Bould's defensive coaching, and Santos is now effectively a reserve left midfield player because he's just not going to do the defensive stuff. He's Brazilian. So I believe that there is enough raw talent there in England if it's coached properly, and that is the big change. I think we are now seeing a big change in Wenger's approach to coaching. He's now willing to let it delegate. He could not delegate before, but he knows he cannot concede 49 goals in the season again. So he's had to swallow his pride and admit that someone else could do it better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk on Steve Bould. Firstly, tell me, please, do you remember him as a player?
Definitely.
Tell us about, because I have some slices only. And I don't have a full picture, of course.
He was an uncompromising defender, a very, very physical and quite a dirty defender in the days when you were allowed to tackle from behind, when basically you could pretty much maim an opposition forward without getting a yellow card for the first challenge. The kind of tackle Steve Bould made would now result in an immediate red card. So sliding in from behind, taking the forward's legs, and you say to the referee, I took the ball as well. And when Bould was playing, you were allowed to do that. It's amazing more players weren't injured. So Bould is as a character is tough and aggressive and competitive and a real winner. And he took his place in a back four that was developed by George Graham and was very, very heavily drilled. So the preparation for matches was intense. It was actually very boring for the players. They got fed up of it, but it was very effective. So, for example, the pinnacle of Bould's playing career under George Graham were two things. Number one, the 1990-91 season, Arsenal lost one match. It was a match in
To Chelsea 1-2.
Correct, which is absolutely fantastic. They almost did an unbeaten season. Mm-hmm. They were just very weak in defence, won that game at Chelsea because of injury. The other real pinnacle for Bould was the Cup Winners' Cup victory in 1994 when they withheld withstood
to Palmer.
A very effective and creative Palmer attack, and Bould was absolutely outstanding, and it was the culmination of years of work to put in that performance, and that is what to many older fans Arsenal are about, going back to the 30s and the early 70s and the George Graham era, a solid defence, clean sheet. That's the basis from which you win matches. That gradually changed under Wenger, but it is significant that Wenger's early success was built on George Graham's defence. So with the move to the new stadium, the legacy of the English defence that Wenger had inherited from George Graham disappeared completely. And with that, with each progressive season, it seemed that more goals were being conceded. So now, in a way, we've almost come full circle in that Steve Bould has been brought back, not as a player, but as a coach. But he can now instill the habits and the discipline that he learnt when he was a player, which started Wenger off when Wenger arrived and then inherited these defenders. So in my opinion, it's a very good thing. I think the first three matches of the season are obvious evidence that something has changed and that Bould has been allowed to coach the things that were not being done previously.
Tell me, please, do you really think that there are changes in our defence? Or maybe clean sheets are the result of lack of real tests?
Well, if you look at the set pieces, for example, granted, there have been a couple of instances where players have been loose and able to get a chance, such as Daniel Agger.
As Daniel Agger in Liverpool game.
And
yes.
I have no doubt that Steve Bould will get the video of that, get the players in front of it, and just pinpoint what was wrong. Because what does seem to happen to me is that at set pieces, Arsenal look more solid. They look closer to their men, they're more aware. The concentration seems to be greater, as well as the attitudes challenge. So I think there will always be moments where the opposition have a chance, but I think there's a new feeling now when the other team do get a corner or a free kick. We're not quite so worried as we were previously, because things just do look a little tighter. Players look more switched on. So I believe that it hasn't just been luck. I think that the next few games will show that Arsenal are going to concede less goals than they were.
Within 49?
Yeah, well, obviously. they need to get it down to 30. But I think it's possible. I mean, the question is whether or not they can win matches. But it's always been an Arsenal thing to start from a solid defensive bedrock and then build. And it's Arsene Wenger that's changed that. You know, he corrupted the ideal of what Arsenal are about, and he refashioned the club completely. But he went too far. You know, it was all about possession. You know, it was all about keeping the ball and not concentrating on what the opposition do when they have it. Now, I think it's been symbolised by the sale of Alex Song, a player the club did not have to sell. He had plenty of time on his contract, but he was making waves, and critically, he was not carrying out the instruction that Steve Bould was giving. So there was a story that Steve Bould grabbed Alex Song by the neck in pre-season because he just was not responding to what he was being told to do. So I think there is a new attitude now. The players that are there are doing what they're told. It will be very interesting to see if Andre Santos ever plays left back again, because my belief is that he probably doesn't respond to Bould's instruction. So Wenger will now just use him as an option going forward in the last half hour of a match, but that Gibbs is the first choice left back. And it's possible we may even see another left back being bought either in January or next summer, because I don't think Santos is regarded as what's required now.
Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, you told me now that Alex Song was sold because of Steve Bould, not because of Arsene Wenger.
I believe so. I mean, I think it's not just that isolated incident. I think there were things building up to it. There are stories that last season he was fined many times for being late for training. that his behaviour was that of what we call in England a Billy Boots, which means someone who thinks they are greater than they are.
Mm-hmm.
So attitude was considered to be unhealthy and a bad example. And, you know, it's interesting that he's quite close friends with someone like Emmanuel Adebayor, who also, there were disciplinary issues there. So sometimes, you know, players, they're either going to knuckle down and be professional, or they're going to start doing things which suit themselves rather than the club. And I think this was the problem with Song. And I think Wenger realised that he was better without this player if he wasn't going to do what he was told to.
So it was Wenger's decision, of course.
Ultimately. But I'm sure Steve Bould grabbing a player by the neck didn't go down well with Wenger. I'm sure he saw what happened, and ultimately he's got to support the player or his coach. And, you know, in the hierarchy, he has to support his coach. So I don't know. That was perhaps the moment that triggered the sale, but I suspect that it was waiting for a reason to get rid of him if he would not adapt and do what he was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think overall on summer transfers window results? Could you expect better? And does Arsenal Football Club rectify all the squad weaknesses? In your vision, of course.
No, they don't. I mean, they still need definitely a utility defender, someone who can play either left or right back. They still need a quality backup keeper, probably someone experienced.
Like you see Askelainen or Thomas Sorensen, yes?
Yes. I mean, Mannone has done okay, but Mannone is always capable of doing something stupid. So is Chesney. Chesney is still young. So the manager should have the option whereby he does not have to play Chesney. He's got someone who is a genuine challenger. So, you know, you want competition for places, because that way you keep every player on their toes. And that's what Arsenal haven't always had for a while. Wenger has his favourites. Very unlike, for example, Manchester United, where any player can be dropped. So you want players who are on their toes and not sure they're going to start the next game unless they play to their best. But as far as the transfer window is concerned, I mean, on one level, I'm not surprised. But after last season and finishing 19 points short of the teams above, I would have hoped that the very least Arsenal would have done was make more use of the money they had. So, yes, he has bought three players who could work out for the best. Certainly, Cazorla looks a good buy. Podolski looks a good buy. Giroud has to score. We don't know if he's going to work or not. But having sold Van Persie, he should then have thought, OK, let's buy a backup for Giroud, because he doesn't have one, in my opinion. There's no other natural central forward. He played Podolski there against Sunderland. I don't think it works. I think he needs another player in the Giroud mould who can play there if Giroud gets injured or loses form. So that's another area where we should have bought. So ultimately, we've reached the situation where, according to the Arsenal Supporters Trust, there is £50 million unused in the player trading account. My belief is that if you're a football club, even if you're a self-sustainable football club, that still allows you to maximise your chances of success by using all the resources you have. £50 million sitting in the bank is not going to help Arsenal win trophies. So I believe that the only way the manager can get away with what he's done is if he's very lucky with individual form and injuries this season, whereby he doesn't have to cover Kieran Gibbs being injured. He doesn't have to cover Giroud being injured. And this obviously assumes Giroud comes good, We don't even know that. There is an argument to say that he should have swallowed his pride and allowed Bentner to stay, because Bentner would have made a decent backup for Giroud. However, that was obviously another attitude problem, and he didn't want him at the club. Fair enough. Buy someone else if you're going to do that. So there are definite weaknesses in the squad, and if things go as they normally do at Arsenal and we lose two or three players where the backup is not strong enough, then the decision not to spend the money available in the transfer window is going to look very, very foolish. And so I think ultimately, financially, it's been disappointing. Arsenal have once again made a profit on transfers, and frankly, if that indicates the footballing ambition of the club is not what it should be. So for me, I mean, you just look at Manchester United. They paid over the odds for Robin van Persie, but they're getting their reward. He's scoring the goals. Rooney's injured, van Persie's playing, they're winning matches with van Persie. So that's what you do. You use what you have to maximise your chances, but Wenger never does that, and I don't understand.
So let's talk a bit about personalities. What about Giroud? Three games, of course, it's not enough. But after three games, I don't see him better than Chamakh.
I think with Giroud, I agree that at the moment he looks like Chamakh.
Worse than Chamakh, I think.
Well, possibly. But you also have to remember that he, not only has he joined a new team, but in terms of Arsenal's attack, he's joined a team where there are other new players have come in, and the understanding is simply not there amongst the setup. So you've got what you've got is a forward line and a midfield finding their way in terms of the understanding of where the players are going to be. Now, I'm prepared to give Giroud at least another month, because I think that potentially he could work out as a player similar to Alan Smith.
Alan Smith, I remember this striker, but I cannot compare Bentner or somebody else with him. Can you?
Yes, I mean, he was a target man who had a good first touch. And in the days when the game was more physical and dirty tackles were allowed, he used to take a lot of punishment and critically hold the ball up very well so that other attackers could join. So he was a traditional target man, but quite skillful and quite clinical in front of goal as well. You know, he scored a lot of goals. And what happened with him was Ian Wright joined the club. Ian Wright became the main man, and Smith's contribution in terms of goals lessened significantly, but he did also, you know, provide a lot of assists for Wright. He used to knock down the ball for him and hold the ball up for Wright to run onto. So he was adaptable, and I mean, physically Giroud looks very similar. I think Giroud can hold the ball up and bring other players into play, but he's still feeling his way. And I think you've got to remember the likes of Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp didn't score in their first few matches for Arsenal. So I'm willing to wait. I can see signs that he's getting into positions which are going to create goals. Sometimes he's just taking defenders away from the likes of Cazorla and Podolski to give them more space. So it could work. I'm not saying he will, but I'm certainly, I've not decided already that he's a waste of money. As I said, I would like to have another option. We haven't got that now, so let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that he does work out.
But if it does not work out in at the end of December, will Wenger buy another striker in January?
He will have no choice because he doesn't have the options in that position. I mean, you can't say Shamak is going to improve. You know, Shamak is finished now. I'm not even sure he's still at the club. I think he is, but he's certainly never been on the substitutes bench this season. I mean, he will play Podolski there if Giroud does not work out. I just don't think Podolski is the kind of player which suits that position. Podolski is a shadow striker or a wide attacker if you're going to play that formation, but he's not a centre forward. So he's left himself short there, and it's a concern.
Mm-hmm. What is your opinion on Cazorla?
Well, originally, Cazorla was supposed to be an immediate replacement for Fabregas. Simply, Malaga outbid Arsenal for the player, but now they've had their financial problems. He's come a year later than he should have. And he is a Fabregas type. Not quite as good in terms of his ability, but in terms of his ability to compete, and I think he's more defensive in some ways than Fabregas is. I know he's playing high up, but I've been told that he can also play as a holding midfield player. His link play is wonderful, very encouraged already. I think he's probably been the best import this season so far, with the possible exception of the Spanish guy at Swansea, who seems to be knocking the goals in. But I'm hugely encouraged, and it's quite obvious that, you know, he is the new player for the Fabregas position, and I just can't see... The only reason I could see his position changing is if Wilshere comes back and is fit, and Wenger wants to play Arteta, Diaby and Wilshere. It's possible Cazorla could play as one of the wide attackers. But either way, I think he's going to be a very effective player. He's going to create a huge amount of chances. My only concern is that he's not quite clinical enough when he does get a chance. Too many shots go wide. So he needs to work on his shooting. But overall, a very good buy.
Mm-hmm. So if we have a look on situation in general, we can see that incubator project is over, that Bolt is coaching defense, Wenger has changed his mind, and under these circumstances, do you think that Arsenal Football Club is able now to compete the title this year?
No, I don't, because I think there have been too many changes in too short a time, and it needs another season to really settle down. So, for example, the centre forward problem is likely to expose the team. You know, I can see if there is an injury to left back, we're going to suffer there. There are too many ifs, so they'd have to be very, very lucky to actually compete with Manchester City and Manchester United, and also Chelsea, who've had a good start. So realistically, I think once again we are competing for fourth place, but at this early stage of the season, I'm not going to criticise people for being optimistic. Ultimately, if the team continue to defend well, then they're not going to lose so many games, and that's really where things need to change. So if they can get through the season only conceding, let's say, 30 goals, then they will have a chance. Whether or not that is going to happen, time will tell. The big tests are coming soon enough. You know, Manchester City away, Chelsea at home. These are the games which will really give us the answers to how much Arsenal have been able to take on what they're being instructed to do in terms of defending as a team, defending as a unit. In a sense, they haven't had a really tough test yet. Liverpool yesterday played the way Arsenal do and allowed Arsenal too much space in doing that. Against Sunderland and against Stoke, Arsenal they weren't really tested because those two teams are more interested in not losing than winning. So they have yet to come up against a team that is going to go for the win and also get in their faces at the same time. And that will be the real true test of how likely Arsenal are to have a successful season in defence this year.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us today. And I am hopeful if you will join us once again this season.
Of course. You're welcome.
Thank you.